Good morning, church. Our text today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so though many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joyce. Good morning, church. Well, I made a list this morning for you guys. And as I rattle off these items on this list, I want you to be thinking, what does this list represent for Brian? What do these things have in common? Here we go. Watching the Super Bowl, watching the latest Marvel movie or Star Wars movie, watching the NBA Finals, watching the latest Netflix series that my friends are into, hunting elk in Colorado, getting a PhD, owning a 1968 fastback Mustang, going to a Taylor Swift concert. What am I talking about here? What does this list represent? You might be thinking, well, these are things that Brian wants to do. This is a bucket list. You're close. These are things I don't want to miss out on. And you know, as I was writing this list, I'm like, Taylor Swift? I'm not even a Taylor Swift fan. But I felt like this last year, I should have been one, right? That if I wasn't going to one of her concerts, I was missing out. Well, this idea, FOMO, fear of missing out, it came to prominence in 2004. Many think it came to prominence with the launch of Facebook, social media. You know this thing, right? This is that thing where you get on and you see the very best version of your friend's life, right? The coolest things that they are doing, and you're looking at that and you're thinking, they're living a great life. What about my life? It doesn't look so wonderful. You know, FOMO can give us a lot of anxiety and stress. It can lead to exhaustion, right? We've got to keep up. We've got to pack our lives with doing all these things because that's where flourishing is found. FOMO could lead us to question our own self-worth because we begin to compare ourselves to other people. And we think, well, man, my life, not so great. They're living a wonderful life, but I'm not. Our passage this morning is not about FOMO, but it is about missing out on the grace, on the goodness of God. I've kind of labeled it MOGO or MOGOG. Mogog, whatever you want to make of it, missing out on the goodness and grace of God. And as we look at the passage, we're going to see that we experience the grace and goodness of God through his people. But the passage gives us three threats to missing out on God's goodness. Those threats are ego, our independence, and our laziness. Ego, independence, and our laziness. I want to look first at our ego in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You know, last week, Scott Stinson did a wonderful job with the beginning of chapter 12. And as you found out, chapter 12 is the hinge in the book of Romans. The first 11 chapters are unpacking the theology of the gospel, and now in 12 through 16, we have the application of the gospel. And one of the things we learned last week is that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And here we have one of the ways that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that is having a right view of ourselves. Not to think too highly or actually to think too lowly of ourselves, but to see ourselves as we truly are. The scripture says to think with sober judgment. Now, if you've ever been impaired or if you know people who have been drunk and have gotten behind the wheel, they can't judge distances accurately. They can't see clearly. They can't judge their speed clearly. And so we're to judge with sober judgment, which means we're to see clearly. We're to judge accurately. We're to have a clear view of reality. And how do we do that? Well, our scripture says, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. The measure of faith that God has assigned. Measure, that Greek word metron, means standard by which we measure, not amount. So it's not the amount of faith that he's referring to. He's talking about the standard of faith that God has given to each of us who are in Christ Jesus. And that standard is the gospel. And so it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the way which we can truly see ourselves clearly. Who here knows of someone who, or has known of someone who thinks of themselves too highly? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, right? We have words to describe people like that, don't we? But what about someone who thinks of them too lowly? We probably all know someone like that. In fact, as I've thought about this, I have found myself in both of those places, thinking way too highly of myself or even too lowly. You know, one of the reasons we esteem ourselves too high or too low is that we root our worth in what we do, what we have, what station in life we occupy, or what we look like. And so what happens is this: when we are performing well, when we are achieving, when we have money in our pocket, when we're the best looking one in the room, we think somehow that we are better. But then on the other hand, when we aren't achieving, when we are failing, when we can't keep up with our neighbors, when we're not the best looking one in the room, we have this false sense that somehow we are less. And the problem in both cases is that we don't esteem ourselves rightly or clearly. It's the gospel that says that we are more valuable than what we do, what we have, how we look. The gospel says that we actually sell ourselves short when we root our worth in those things. Because in the gospel, God looks upon us who are in Christ Jesus, and he sees his dearly beloved Son, the one in whom he is well pleased. And so our worth is not what we do, what we bring to the table, what's in our pocket, how we look, but who we are in Jesus, God's dearly beloved Son. And so the problem is not a high or low problem, but one of clarity, gospel clarity, the gospel informing us who we are in Jesus. And so if we look at this first threat being our ego, the antidote to that is having a gospel reality to see ourselves as God sees us in his Son. When we were in Spain last month visiting our daughter, we rented a car. And if you've ever been to Europe, you know this. Everything is smaller in Europe. Everything is tight in Europe. I mean, you'd never see a Chevy Suburban going down the street in Europe, right? It just doesn't fit. It gets stuck between the buildings. We rented this car. It's fairly new. It had this wonderful feature that some of you guys have in your cars. It's a bird's eye view, a 360 view of the car. And I'm like, this is so cool. Here I am, parallel parking, and all of a sudden on the screen pops up this view of the car, like it's from above, like somebody's out there showing me what's around the car in the front, the car in the back, whether I'm too close to the curb or not, whether I'm hanging out the side or not. This 360 view, this external assessment of the situation. And the gospel is that outside reference that shows us ourselves clearly, shows us the way we are as God sees us. And we miss out on God's very best for us when the gospel, the good news, is not informing our reality. Why is that? Well, if we're thinking too highly of ourselves, people don't really actually want to be around us. We may be surrounded by people, but they're not really there. They're not authentically engaging with you. But if we think too lowly of ourselves, well, we don't want to be with them. We want to disengage and not be with them. So if we don't have a gospel reality shaping the way we view ourselves, we're missing out on God's very best for us. Why? Because his very best for us is found in his body, the church, the people of God. Yes, what we're doing here this morning when we come together and worship and our realities are being reshaped by the gospel as we sing it, as we pray it, as we proclaim it in word, but also when we do life together as God's people. When we engage with one another, when we're speaking the gospel to one another, when we're living out the gospel realities with one another, when we're reflecting Jesus to one another. And you're thinking to yourself, have you been around other Christians? Do you know other Christians? They are rigid, they are judgy, they are cringy, right? That's God's design that we're going to unpack. That God designs this hot mess of individuals, bringing them all together in this beautiful mess, sharing one thing in common, God's love for them and Jesus. And it's a hot mess of community that God is shaping through the gospel that will help shape your reality, help you see yourself clearly. And if you're not part of this hot mess of God's community, you are missing out on the goodness and grace of God. Secondly, the second threat, our independence, verses 4 and 5. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We saw the verse earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul uses the same analogy of the body, the human body. We are like parts of a physical body. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different function. Diversity and unity at the same time. And just like the human body with its various parts, God has designed each of us for one another. A body where every part is important. And I'm pretty sure that I've asked if any of you, if you wanted to do without your eye, your ear, your hand, or even something as insignificant as your pinky or your toe, you'd say, I want every bit of my body, right? You don't want to do without a single part of the body. Well, we miss out on the grace of God, his goodness, when we lean away from each other, when we think that we don't need each other. Actually, we know in Scripture as we read it that our very spiritual health is deeply tied to our connectedness to each other. Verse 5 says it this way, we are individually members of one another. In other words, God has designed us for each other to grow in community and not apart from it. If you've been around Lake Baldwin Church for any amount of time, you know one of our core values is loving community. And it says this, we believe that God grows us primarily in the context of our relationships. Therefore, we value deep, genuine community with one another. And yep, that community is a hot, hot mess. It's a hard place to be at times. It's uncomfortable. It exposes our self-centeredness. It exposes our pride. It exposes the fact that we look on others and judge them and say that, yes, you are judgy. You are cringy. You are rigid. It's in community, leaning in community, that causes us to have to reach out with the grace of God, to reach out with the love of Jesus to people like that and for others to lean into us, into our junk, with the grace of Jesus. That's how it works. And so if God's goodness, his grace is found in a loving community, the question is, are you part of it? Are you experiencing the grace and goodness of God through his people? And I want to get really practical this morning. If you're not, what is the one step that you can take this morning to move, to lean into this goodness and grace of God? It may be for you that you're going to revive a relationship that's gone cold and you're going to invite someone to coffee or lunch. It might be as simple as that. That's your one step. Maybe for some of you, it's to re-engage into your community group. You've fallen away. Or maybe for the first time, to sign up and be a part of a community group. For some of us, it might be we need to lean even harder in and confess our sin or confess an area that we are struggling with to another. And you might be here this morning and you may be thinking, well, man, I am so busy. You have not seen my calendar. I'm not sure how I have time for this. And maybe your first step is to take one of those FOMO items on your giant list and take it away and lean into the body of Jesus, God's design for you, God's way for you to experience more of the goodness and grace that he offers. It sounds weird, doesn't it? Cutting out something so that you can make space for the body of Christ, but that's what we're talking about this morning. The body of Christ is God's design for you to experience his goodness and grace, to experience more of Jesus. So if the threat to that is our independence, the antidote is gospel community. Leaning into a gospel community, leaning into a community that's being shaped by the love of Jesus. Thirdly, the last threat, our laziness in verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. In other words, what use is a spiritual gift if you don't use it? What use is having a part of your body if it's not functioning? And so first, it's a question of stewardship. I want you to think about it through the lens of stewardship. Stewardship is carefully managing what someone has entrusted to you. Now, I played guitar for about 30 years, and the last couple years, I've picked it up a handful of times. What do you think has happened to my guitar playing? Well, I'm losing it. I'm losing it quickly. I've lost the calluses. All the songs that I used to know by heart, I'm losing it. Be careful. God has gifted you for a purpose. Be careful of losing what God has gifted you as that means by which you're going to experience more of his goodness, of his grace. If you're a student of the Bible, you know about the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. In this parable, Jesus unpacks this idea. There's this servant who's been given a talent. And what does he do? He goes, while his master's away, he goes and he hides it in the ground. And then he gives it back to his master when his master returns. And what does the master do? Well, he scolds the servant. He didn't use the talent. He didn't invest it. He didn't do anything with it but tuck it away. And at the end of that parable, what happens to that talent? It is taken away. Taken away because of lack of use. So first, it's an issue of stewardship. Steward carefully the thing that you have been given. But it's not only a question of stewardship, it's also a question of an opportunity that is missed. An opportunity that is missed. Many of you guys know this name, Eric Little. Eric Little was born to missionary parents in China, and he was a runner. He was a good runner. In fact, he competed in the 1924 Olympics, and he was known for not running on Sunday mornings so that he can honor God. His life is captured in that movie, Chariots of Fire. This is what he says in that movie. "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." When we use the gift that God has given us, it's not, man, I have to do this. No, I get to do this. He's made me to do this. And when I do it, I feel his joy. I feel his favor. I feel his goodness pouring out upon me. And so when we don't use our gift, we're missing out on the goodness and the grace of God. You might be here this morning and you're struggling a little bit. You're struggling to say, how can I serve this body? How has God gifted me? Let me give you a couple places to start. One is contact the church office. We use a spiritual gifts test in our membership class to help people unpack that. Or ask us, send a note to hello@lakeballandchurch.com and say, hey, I would love to meet with an elder and just begin to explore how God has gifted me. We'd love to help you with that. But secondly, lean into the community of God's people. When you lean into the people of God, guess what is going to happen? They're going to help you. They're going to say, wow, I notice you always encourage me. Or you're always serving. Or you're always doing mercy. The body of Christ is going to come around you and help show you your gift. And if you're still stuck, you're still lost, and you're not sure what to do, let me give you this one to start. You just heard the announcement from Mark. Come on Saturday. Come and help us, right? The last pastor at our church used to say this. No one was ever given the gift of changing diapers. But no one has that gift, but it needs to be done. So sign up and serve in the nursery. Well, no one has this gift of lifting and moving boxes and packing. We need your help. So I hope you'll help and serve in that way. You know, when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, how he needed community. How can we think that somehow we are better, somehow that we are exempt? In fact, in Jesus' most troubling moment before he was crucified, he leaned into his friends, the disciples. In Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 37, it says this, "And taking with him Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.'" Jesus, the all-sufficient, very Son of God, needing the presence, the comfort of his disciples. What a Savior that we have, leaning into community. And who would go to the cross and give up community? Why? So that you and me, we can all have this beautiful community. See, God has designed us for each other. Every single one of us is important. Every single one of us plays a part in this organism we call the Church of Jesus Christ, his very body. He has designed us also to receive his goodness and his grace through his body. When we lean into the body of Christ, we encounter the risen Lord Jesus. And so we miss out on God's goodness, his grace, flourishing. We miss out on more of Jesus when we give into our ego, when we give into independence, when we give into laziness. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we do thank you for this mysterious thing, this hot mess of a thing that you call the body of Christ, where you take broken, selfish, judgmental, rigid sinners, and you put us all together, and we bump and bruise each other, and somehow you use this beautiful thing called the body of Christ to make us more like your Son, for us to encounter the risen Lord Jesus in new and wonderful ways, to experience more and more of your goodness and your grace for us, and the joy of your presence in the body of Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you for this beautiful mystery. Help us to lean in more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.